Welcome back to Through the Word. Pastor Chris here, and today fashion guru Jonathan Ferguson is here to discuss ancient Israelite priesthood fashion.
Chris, you've seen my wardrobe, right? It's basically just flannels and free shirts from conferences. How does that make me a fashion guru?
I don't know exactly. Just sounded better than just saying we're talking about the high priest's clothing.
Well, fashion gurus, we are not, but we are excited to open up Exodus 28 with you today. Let's jump in. Verse 2. Make sacred garments for your brother Aaron to give him dignity and honor. Tell all the skilled workers to whom I have given wisdom in such matters that they are to make garments for Aaron for his consecration, so that he may serve me as priest. These are the garments they are to make: a breastpiece, an ephod, a robe, a woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. They are to make these sacred garments for your brother Aaron and his sons, so that they may serve me as priests. Have them use gold and blue, purple and scarlet yarn, and fine linen.
So why were the high priest's garments so important? Well, Israel was to be a theocracy, not a monarchy. God was to be their leader, and the high priest represented God to the people. Now, the priest did not get the palace or riches that came with monarchy, and no portion in the land. But God did command special attire for the high priest as a sign of his authority, to give him dignity and honor.
And the high priest's garments are similar to the tabernacle, in both color and material. His garments reflected the holiness of the place he was called to minister. Thus, in his service, he becomes the focus of God's presence for the people of God, a mini tabernacle.
The first article of clothing is called an ephod. Verse 6. Make the ephod of gold, and of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and of finely twisted linen, the work of skilled hands. It is to have two shoulder pieces attached to two of its corners, so it can be fastened. Its skillfully woven waistband is to be like it, of one piece with the ephod, and made with gold, and with blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and with finely twisted linen.
Imagine an apron-like garment covering thigh to shoulder. Most ephods mentioned in Scripture are plain linen aprons, but this impressive, elaborate ephod was worn over the robe and wasn't just beautiful fabric. Verse 9, take two onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel in the order of their birth. Six names on one stone and the remaining six on the other. Engrave the names of the sons of Israel on the two stones the way a gem cutter engraves a seal. Then mount the stones in gold filigree settings and fasten them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel. Aaron is to bear the names on his shoulders as a memorial before the Lord.
So the front and back portions of the ephod were held together by a gold chain, and from the chain were two black and white layered stones engraved with the names of the 12 tribes, in a way so that the white layers would stand out in sharp contrast to the black stone. As the high priest wore these two stones, it was a reminder to him and to the nation that he bore the weight of the entire nation on his shoulders before God. Take a moment and look at each of your shoulders and imagine a heavy stone there engraved with the names of all the people whom God has entrusted to your care. It's a powerful symbol.
The next article of clothing was the breastplate, made of the same material as the ephod. It was basically a small square fabric pouch attached to the front of the ephod. There were 12 precious stones set into the breastplate, each engraved with the name of one of the tribes of Israel. Not only did the high priest carry the weight of the nation on his shoulders, he was to carry each one individually close to his heart.
The breastplate had a secondary purpose as well. Verse 29. Whenever Aaron enters the holy place, he will bear the names of the sons of Israel over his heart on the breastpiece of decision as a continuing memorial before the Lord. Also put the Urim and the Thummim in the breastpiece so they may be over Aaron's heart whenever he enters the presence of the Lord. Thus Aaron will always bear the means of making decisions for the Israelites over his heart before the Lord. So inside the breastplate were the Urim and Thummim. What are these things? We aren't sure, actually. What we do know is they were used in some way to hear from God as the means of making decisions for the Israelites.
Most scholars believe that they're basically a manner of casting lots. The priest would ask a question of God, and Then reach into the breastplate and pull out a white or black stone. White would represent yes, and black would represent no. But we really aren't sure. It's one of those cases where the Bible doesn't give us as much explanation as we wish it would.
That's probably a good thing. If the book of Exodus went into detail here, we'd probably have a lot of people trying to mimic this way of divining answers from God. As believers today, we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us and the Word of God before us, guiding us and revealing God's will for us. We don't need to pull tokens out of an Othello game or roll dice to determine the will of God. But for the high priest, this was God's plan. But it's not about random chance. Three keys are listed about Urim and Thummim and good decision making. They were for the people, kept over his heart, and before the Lord.
Moses was given some pretty detailed instructions for the ephod and breastplate, but there were other garments needed for the high priest. Verse 31, make the robe of the ephod entirely of blue cloth, with an opening for the head in its center. There shall be a woven edge like a collar around this opening, so that it will not tear. Make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn around the hem of the robe, with gold bells between them. The gold bells and the pomegranates are to alternate around the hem of the robe. Aaron must wear it when he ministers. The sounds of the bells will be heard when he enters the holy place before the Lord and when he comes out, so that he will not die.
So the priest's robe had sewed onto the hem, alternating bells and woven pomegranates. The pomegranates were symbols of abundance and beauty. The bells announced the presence of the priest in the holy place. Now, did God need to hear the bells to know what Aaron was doing? No, but they would serve as a reminder to Aaron that God knew the work he was doing. Nothing was in secret.
Aaron was also to wear a turban with a gold plate on it. Verse 36, make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it as a seal, holy to the Lord. Aaron wore this gold plate as a reminder that he was sacred, set apart for the Lord.
Zechariah 14 speaks of a coming day where holy to the Lord will be written on everything in Jerusalem, down to the bells on horses and cooking pots. In the days when Christ rules from the city of Jerusalem, everything will be holy, set apart for the worship of the King.
One interesting piece of clothing that is not mentioned here, footwear. No fancy shoes, sandals, or gold Jordan 1 retros, Yeezys, or Gucci Ace sneakers for the high priest.
Back in Exodus 3, the Lord told Moses to take off his sandals, for the ground before the burning bush was holy ground. It's likely that the high priest was to be barefoot, as a reminder that the work he did was holy work, and the ground he walked was holy ground.
Well, that's it for us today. Go read Exodus 28 for yourselves, and we'll be back here tomorrow for chapter 29 on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.
So, Chris, the high priest would never have made it on Preachers and Sneakers, would they?
Jonathan, for someone who has no fashion sense, you do know your shoes.
Yeah, I know my shoes came from the clearance rack.